there's a few things been happening in the bigger picture for the district, and the biggest one probably is with the Three Waters situation. Now, I know for a bit of background, you have been having conversations with other mayors throughout the Waikato region, haven't you?
Yes.
About this topic and about working together. And then this is something I've been reading press releases and trying to figure out what went on. It looks to me like Hamilton City decided they didn't really want to work with everyone else and they were going to go and start their own project and then maybe everyone can join them later on. But it felt like they wanted a little bit more control of things from my perspective.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not privy to the internal thinkings. What I do know is, I guess, you know, the Cranley report was probably 6 or 8 years ago now that we had in-depth discussions and cost quite a bit of money to look at the CCO, or Council Controlled Organisation, between Waipa, Hamilton City Council, and ourselves. Mm. One of those things that probably didn't help was it actually went across an election rotation, because I think we're going to do these things, we have to do it with the same people and bring them along on the journey, obviously including our residents that ratepayers would affect. But unfortunately that didn't go ahead with other councils pulling out of that, and if we had that, we would have been in a quite a different situation now when we retrospectively look at that going bigger in waters is a good idea. And you've got lots of examples internationally, like Scotland or Tasmania, etc. And even, you know, Waterkill, you see how that works, etc. So that's part of it. But now, as time's gone on with the different processes of governments looking at it, you know, we were down to really a Scottish model with the previous government, right? And then it was just like one entity. Then it was split to four entities. Then it went to 10 entities. And then we've had election change, and now we're with a new version of let's go and work together, you know. And but you have idea of more control. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what we're doing now is what we've always wanted to do, what we've always done, because remember, we've been on this waters journey for, closer to 10 years than anything else. So we're quite sophisticated in terms of understanding the infrastructure, our asset management, what needs to be done, our compliance or not compliance, what we need to do is upgrade our wastewater treatment plants, our water treatment plants, where the growth is, and the new consents that are all coming up quite a lot in the next 10 years, etc. Some other councils aren't perhaps as sophisticated as that, so it's about them bringing them up. So what we need to do and what we want to do is we see that we're looking at three separate options. One is to go alone as a CCO and do our own thing. That's one option that we're looking at. That we haven't done in the last 10 years because we've always sort of partnered up with Watercare or and looked at that, but we've got to seriously consider that as an option. The second option is with Hamilton City Council. They wanted to see whether, rather theirs, I think, is to go alone, as you said, or to go with us. Now, if that happened, we're about 50% of the Waikato District Council, Waikato Region as a whole, between the two of us, yep, in terms of population. So that's another model that we're looking at seriously, and we're sharing information and transparency about what their strengths and weaknesses are and how we can work together on that one. And the third option that we're looking at seriously is with the Waikato Waters Done Well, which has got, from memory, six or seven councils have said they want to work together, like, for instance, Manamana Piako, Hauraki, Thames Coromandel, and they're looking at a water services model to begin with, and that's and the intention is then to look at how a CCO or a financial model might work out of that as it rolls on. But obviously, with more councils, then you've got to bring in the whole lot on at the same time. So again, we are fully engaged with them as well, and we've basically agreed to non-binding alliances with both those models, both the Waters Done Well. We said we are wanting to look and investigate and go to the next stage with you, so we're fully informed and can make best decisions. And with Hamilton, same thing. We're fully engaged, and we're not just playing dance passes. We just seriously want to make sure that from a governance point of view, we make a really good decisions that are robust based on our many, many years of experience. And also, we're really happy to share that experience that we've had, both with Watercare and the really great relationship we've had with Watercare over a long period of time in terms of water services. Mm. And then there's that financial part of actually how you leverage our balance sheet for debt. And that becomes affordability, right? If you can loan more money, you can get more things done which need to be done. I guess the caveat for me personally, which no one really talks about, Aaron, is obviously, we all know when we get a loan, we pay it off in 10 years, we don't pay so much money in interest, right? But it's a higher cost per week for us to pay it back. But if we take that same debt over 30 years, then it's a more affordable weekly and we can afford to pay for it. But actually, we pay a lot more over that 30 years in debt.
So can I ask
it's a difficult one around the quotation affordability for our people.
Yeah, so I had thought that part of the process with the Three Waters was the bigger the entity, the better we were off in terms of expertise and in terms of handling debt. So is that a priority of the council to be part of a fairly big, like that would, and that would mean going it alone really wasn't a very good option. So I'm just kind of asking around that.
Sure. I mean, I guess in Chambers we can't presuppose what the outcome will be because staff still working on those three options. And so that's the outcome. But what we've seen over time is we've always sought other partners but that's part of policy of really trying to be a boundaryless district council to work cooperatively and collegially with other councils on many, many aspects of what we do. And so the waters is just one part of that. And also waters is a very unique area of an industry. There's not so many experts, not like roading, but there's lots and lots of people who know about roading. It's less in that market. So obviously making sure that there's, when someone goes in as a young person, right, in their teenage years, that they can see that they've got a strong career path and et cetera. There's all sorts of ramifications of waters. Yeah, but because better, well, their models overseas, there's lots of them. People should go and have a look and see what they think themselves. That's where government was, both governments are really sending us to say, sure, you can do it on your own if you like. But what we've got here is we've got a huge geographic area in Waikato District Council. We've got nearly the same size as Auckland Super City. We're 80% of their size geographically. Hugely diverse amount of small, almost hamlet-sized communities, although we think they're quite big for our rural areas. But then also we've only got just under 90,000 people, every man, woman and child. But when we look at the waters, Raglan's a prime example, in the water space, so that's 35,000 ratepayers of the whole of our district. So Auckland Super City for the same geographic area, they've got like nearly 2 million people. We haven't got 90,000. So there's a real difference in scale and difference in how to give the right levels of service that everybody wants and affordability. When it comes down to waters, only about half of our ratepayers are actually what we call reticulated or attached to town waters or drinking water and wastewater.
Yeah.
So that's only about 15,000 ratepayers. So an area the size of Auckland Super City, and we've only got 15,000 ratepayers paying for, what's the number, 17 wastewater and drinking water plants throughout our district. Mm. That's a huge amount for a very small amount of people. So Raglan's the same part of you are reticulated in the urban area, and quite close to the urban area, a lot of people on their own tanks and septic tanks.
So this is right.
So that's a real issue because we're not like Hamilton, who has basically every single of the 180,000 people who are actually paying for their waters.
So
this is one example of scale.
Yeah. So I mean, the real question is, are we going to be crippled by debt? Because the whole thing that Labor was trying to do was to move the cost off ratepayers without putting it on government. They were trying something tricky with that, but this government has put it really back on ratepayers. So I mean, how? This is quite threatening. I know there's one council over in the Bay of Plenty said, we're just literally not going to be able to keep up with standards with this approach. So like, how threatening is this to us? Is it for the council to end up under too much debt?
Sure. The parts of it that is, waters are really important because we're actually made of water, right? Majority. So the waters are absolutely key to us as human beings and all growth, whether it's industrial, etc. When you think of who's going to pay, actually we all pay, whether it's the taxpayers paying under the Labor government, right? Because basically the Labor government is going to support us as ratepayers being paying. So we either would have less police or less education or less roads. There's only so much money in the pot of New Zealand Inc. And whether it's either taxpayer money that goes into particular services that they provide, or it's ratepayer money that comes out of the local government to pay for those things. Their aspiration was that it made waters more affordable across the nation because there was more spread of that of taxpayer money. But it doesn't mean that there's a magic pie. If the pie is $100 for everything in New Zealand, whether it's waters or crime or police or education, there's only $100 and somewhere there's got to be a squeeze, right? But it did make it that was their vision of you know, equitability, perhaps. It's just one of another word. The national government wants us to be as efficient as possible and to look at amalgamations or the best possible model that works for our council, and that may be CCOs or not, and to also, they're encouraged with their debt funding to go, okay, the Under Local Government Act, we can only borrow so much money, and that's a really good thing to make sure that governments, us local government, do the right things by our citizens and don't, you know, add too much debt. So there's checks and balances within the system. But when it comes to waters, they are extraordinarily expensive, and the compliance is extraordinarily expensive. And we and what they were giving us is the ability to leverage the amount of debt that we can, 350% or 500%, to make it affordable over time. And that's their model, and that's what we're looking for at the moment, is how we can best utilise this. Now, obviously, when you ask people, and this is my personal opinion on this is not council, so I just want to clear the air on that one.
Yeah.
What I say to people around waters is, if you say to people, would you like a healthy river? Yes, absolutely. You know, like, the environment's key. Would you like good drinking water? Yes. And do you want to make sure that there's not contamination of the environment by wastewater? Yes. Okay. What we don't ask people is, at what level do we want it? Do we, and like, I'm a girl, I'm sorry I have to describe it like this. I describe it like, do we want a mini miner version of it, like the basic, no labels in the supermarket, or do we want the Ford motor car, or do we want the Mercedes model of that? Well, we don't, and these are the costs for this level of compliance and this level of service across our waters. So when we just literally ask people and don't treat them like adults, in my opinion, we don't, is to say, yes, we want healthy rivers, absolutely want good environment, yes, we want clean drinking water, but to what standard? Because this costs this much at that standard, and this costs that much at that standard, and that costs that at that standard. What can we afford? What do we want? And who's going to pay? So I believe, is because we just talk about a number. We don't even talk about that number. But obviously, we need regulations. They're really important. I think this government's understanding is they're looking at how the, you know, same with the Reserve Management Act, whether they can make that a smoother operation, and then things like fast tracking, so that the consents can come through faster. Because obviously, the longer things take, and the more in depth they have to be, then it's a more cost back to the communities and that to the ratepayers.
Can I come back to the question though? As a rural community, it's harder for us to cope with the debt load, because you talk about how everything's spread out. But as a rural community, we're completely essential to the country, because that's where all the farms are, and that's, you know, sometimes called farms, the backbone of the country. But our councils are going to have a lot harder time with this than the big cities, because of those issues of economy of scale and the amount of network you need in these spread out districts.
Yeah, we're probably the exemplar of how spread out and the,
yeah,
our community.
Exactly.
But also because we touch on a lot with Raglan and many other. We're a tier one, we call tier one growth district council. We're one of the fastest growing district councils in New Zealand, and that's the truth. And that has implications in terms of affordability and things as well. And as you say, the rural area, they've got their septic tanks and water supplies. But is not sustainable. And in fact, even I'm just thinking back here with my brain, 2018 and 2021 particularly, we always focus on the general rate that local government's going to, you know, discuss with and present for consultation with our ratepayers. But when you look over the 10 years of the targeted rate of the escalation of cost of the waters, the three waters for people who are reticulated, the numbers get mind-boggling per ratepayer by the time you get to year 10. Now, you know, they're mind-boggling, $4,500 to $5,000 or $6,000 by the time you get to year 10. Now, if we're 3 years into the LTP, that's only 7 years away. The numbers are, it's not sustainable. That's why we've got to find ways of making it more sustainable for either how we regulate it, what our compliance is, what the consents are, where the government helps with funding, but then if the government helps with funding, they've got to take it off the taxpayer somewhere else.
But there's an advantage.
It's very complex.
It is advantageous, though, to spread it out across the whole country, and for the government to do it. They also have better capacity for borrowing money. So I think putting it on small councils, I mean, that's what I've been trying to get at. Like, this is not good for us as a small council with everything spread out.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, like, and I guess, Aaron, the short answer for you is, we understand a lot of that complexity and those opportunities and of scale as well. All right, I can't tell you, and no one can at the moment, where our council will land. But trust me, you know, we've done a lot of due diligence over the last 10 years, and this new council, because we've got 9 new councils, have been here 2 years. I've made sure that right from the beginning they've been well educated of waters, and we have like every fortnightly meetings because there's a lot moving at the moment. And it's really important that we make the right decision and people are fully informed about those decisions. And we're making sure that we've got alternatives to fully investigate for that. Scale does help for a variety of reasons, but, you know, a single one on the CCO is an option, and then we must also look at that option as well.
Okay. All right. Let's tie this in to the long-term plan, because next year it's a pretty significant long-term plan that has to be settled on, and you guys are working on that at the moment. But And we're getting lots of signals from you guys that it's going to be very hard to continue with business as usual for councils. Like, that's kind of my summary of the message we're getting from you guys. Is that? Would you agree with that?
I think everybody is aware of affordability of our citizens, all right? And therefore, we either, and actually at the moment we've said, because we, and obviously we had to do an enhanced annual plan last year rather than the year one of the LTP,
yep, yep,
because of waters. All right.
Yep.
So now we have to go and do the whole thing again. We were actually two-thirds of the way through the LTP when we had to change anyway. So we've done a lot of that work. Now, what we're saying at the moment in our annual plan is that this year we're looking at 6% and 6% for year 2 and year 3. Now, obviously, we're looking at the affordability of people for general rates, and we're looking at what services and what changes have happened in the last 6 months to a year that might change those rates, whether we can reduce it down. But then if we reduce it down, what services that we had said and what projects that we had promised and levels of service and maintenance that we had said that we were going to do that will we not do? So it's kind of easy to say, we're going to try and cut our cloth, we're trying to look at in the crevices. But also the assumption that's, I think, in the media a lot, and I personally it's a story, is that local government sits there and does nothing, all right? And all of a sudden someone tells us we should be looking under the bonnet and checking things out. We have in this council, and I just say that with confidence over the last 12 years I've been here, we look under the bonnet of our district council and the operation of it, and always looking for savings and ways we can do things faster and better. As a new mayor, I have focused on that because how the business operates, the effectiveness of it, is better for all outcomes, for all residents and all of our communities, and that we should always be looking for the best way and effective way and lowering roadblocks. But on the other hand, people have not just needs, they have wants and they have aspirations. And that's across a lot of variety of areas. And everyone wants their thing and they're quite happy to have their thing but not somebody else's thing. So we have to look at it with transparency, with criticality, and looking at the facts, looking at the empirical data, and looking at where we have the resources and spread them as equitably over time as we can across our district and our ratepayers. So that there's and also looking at things like where the growth nodes are and where we have those pinch points. So for example, Raglan would be a pinch point because you have this. You've got about under 4,000 people in terms of population as residents, so you're quite small in terms of the population of the city, but then you're 300 or 400% increases over the summer, but then the summer's becoming longer for you,
yep.
So those pressures. So we think that we've got a really good cohesive understanding of you and partnership with you as a area, and then we're trying our best to work with developers with growth coming in, and obviously with your community, amazing community board, your councillor, and local groups, and to work with you on that. Other areas the same. Some are not as sophisticated in terms of their own, like you've got your Raglan naturally, for example. Other communities are just starting to get that sustainability and adaptability in their own around how they can actually affect change for themselves by themselves. And we're trying to nurture that adaptability and resilience in the communities and managing growth as well.
Okay.
But, you know, we've got towns that are larger all over. So it's kind of, it's like you're not going to miss, because I think one of the things that happens is everyone feels there's a lack. And yes, there is a lack because if we want to throw money at it, but the money, there is no secret, you know, Santa bag, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I will be, and I do, focused on making sure that we do the right things in the right time. And also if we promise something, that we actually deliver it, and we try and deliver it on time and on budget. And that's And if we've already promised things and we're going to doing a catch-up, which we are because we've over-promised or under-delivered, then that's out of integrity, in my opinion. So we're going to do what we say we're going to do and do it as effectively as possible.
Okay. Can we move to Māori ward seats?
Sure.
I think our council, you guys have decided to go for – there's only two options. Go for the vote option.
Yes.
Yep.
And yeah. Because the other option is not sustainable for us, that we just – say no to Māori ward seats, so we have to. The only alternative is to go to a referendum. Yes.
Yeah. So what's your kind of position on that as the mayor? Like, what have you said about it?
I guess actions speak louder than words, in my opinion. So I guess the first day that I came in as mayor, in my first 4-hour conversation with the senior leadership team, was I said, "Well, can we make a note? Because I'd like to ask at that time Kingi Tuheitia whether we could put his portrait into the chambers." And I wanted to ask that, and we were fortunate that in May of 2023 that happened, and his sister came along to represent him, and also the Tumanaki, which is the person who crowns the Queen, Honey Thompson, and Reverend Moxon from the Anglican Bishop. They all came, and we had a ceremony where we had King Charles's portrait put up as a new king, I guess in the Windsor one, and then also had Kingi Tuheitia's portrait up in our chambers. Now, what I've been told, I did it because I felt that that's important for the integrity of who we are and what we are and where we are, and my relationship with Mana Whenua as well, and where the future of NZ and Aotearoa is. What I've heard back from various kaumātua is that was really important to them that happened. I just think it was an integrity thing for me, but because I didn't think of the political what it means, but they think that was a good thing to do. So I think we're the only council that has done that. So that's, I guess, in the statement where that hasn't been, that's the statement in our chambers. It's a community space where we all can be in, where decisions are made, and we have that oversight.
So, okay, let me ask another question around that. Because we've had a term now with two Māori ward seats, we call them seats. And so it seems to be a bit of fear behind the opposition to those seats. And I'm wondering from your perspective, if you're meeting people now and they're kind of like, well, we've had it for a little while and it's not as – they won't say it this way, but it's not as frightening as they thought it was going to be, or everything, you know, everything's just been okay, it's been fine. Do you think when we come to a vote that any insight into which way the vote will go?
Sure, big questions. I agree with you. I think Aaron, and it's really thoughtful of you, I think most people in their lives fear what they don't know or that things that are unknown, whether it's, oh, I'm not sure if I want to jump out of that plane with a parachute on, okay, or I'm moving to another country, or what's that going to be like? You know, we have... And fear over time is, or worries has kept us, you know, survival mode. So I guess we don't know things, but if we open our minds and go, okay, maybe I'll try that, or maybe I'm going to read a bit more about this subject, you know, before I jump out of a plane kind of idea, or about Māori wards or whatever, or have I never been to Māori, maybe I'll learn some history of Aotearoa, which, you know, unfortunately, people my age and even yours, we didn't get educated in our schools about our own history, which is, I think it was a real opportunity lost by all governments and all parties. Mm. And now that's been changed, so that we'll have a much better idea for our children as to our nation. So I think with anything that we fear or worry about or concerned about or not sure of, the best thing is to kind of go to the library and check out a couple of books, or, you know, maybe not the internet, because sometimes that can send you down algorithm rabbit holes, but there's lots of data around, right? And what I really like about Mana Whenua, because I've been on the Manais probably about 10 years myself, and just sitting there quietly and, you know, just to understand and putting that action there rather than speaking into that space, but just to sit in there and show that I was interested, is the word manaakitanga. And so most people know the word mana, mana being leadership or your natural star quality or your natural leadership. Manaakitanga is such a, you know, a precept of the merits. It's like a mana of being very hospitable to all guests, and showing that hospitality. Now, hospitality is one of the things that New Zealanders do so well, right? And it's something that we've got in common with all of our peoples of New Zealand, that we like to be very hospitable to all people. And that's part of their, really deep part of their culture, how I understand it. And I really value that they really make an effort when new people are around to support them and be hospitable. And so I think that's a really great thing. So, yeah, step into that space, ask some questions, read a few books. Yeah. So, maybe less scary for people.
So, but are you getting a feeling from the people you meet about where they sit on this?
I think I feel I remember actually one elderly gentleman in the north, and he was saying that his granddaughter, he was really encouraged because he said, "My granddaughter is learning Māori language," is how he said it, in preschool, and he said some of the words that she's saying I can't understand. So I've just decided that I don't understand I want to understand because I love my granddaughter. So I'm going to spend more time with her and understand the language with her. And so I think those steps of people, most people are really open. They're always curious, and I believe that as a nation we'll step forward into that. And I see the Waikato District Council has been really intrinsic to that movement forward of future-proofing New Zealand Inc. Aotearoa for the future of how we've got the multinational countries in the world, and with Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
Okay. Before we wrap up, I know you've been having some visits from ministers from the government recently, and they've been talking about fast-track projects. I think this is what I've heard. I sort of understand. Now, here in Raglan, of course, we're upset about the seabed mining thing, but and I've talked about that earlier this morning, so putting that aside, what else have you been talking to the ministers about?
Sure, we actually had Minister Bishop online yesterday with Future Proof to Waikato District Council, Hamilton Waipa, and Manawa Piako. So it's Future Proof. It's like, again, the powerhouse just growth councils, or the three plus Manawa Piako is not so fast growing, but those three councils, fastest growing in the region. So Minister Bishop came, we had a half an hour with him and talked about the fast-tracking things that they were put into the Waikato. He said it's a focus of theirs. They see the synchronicity between the Golden Triangle, basically, the Auckland, which I hadn't actually heard this from government, so I was really pleased to hear that from him, because I keep saying it to them, but now he's saying it back where he's, Minister of Infrastructure, it's really important, and housing, very important. And so he says that synchronicity of Auckland, of Waikato, and Tauranga, and that we get that right, and central government gets that right, Aotearoa succeeds. And so that's a good focus, because not just focusing on the big metropolitan cities, and we feel like we all missed out in our rural and provincial district council. We're aligning ourselves as our five different councils to make sure that we work really well together, as well as those other councils in that area, for the 11 that we are. That's the 10, nine district councils, one city, and one regional council, and showing that we're working as well together as we possibly can for the betterment of the people. And that's the message to government. And so, Minister Bishop was really pleased. He said, unlike other areas, which I won't name, he said, who are kind of infighting with each other a little bit more, he says he sees that collegiality and the working together that we're doing, and they like that. They want that. They want that balanced industry looking and the strategic. What's good for, and we keep saying to ourselves and our five mayors and that future proof is, what's good for one of our district councils or the city is good for all of us, because we have a very symbiotic relationship. And Raglan, same as you, like, although you're part of Waikato District Council, rural and provincial, but the segue between you and Hamilton is such a close tie, and vice versa, in terms of business, economics, tourism, schooling, health, all sorts of things, and, holidaying or whatever. So those are things that we're building on, and the government likes that and wants to support that. And so there's more things coming up. He also sees, obviously, the spillage from Auckland. They see that as a real opportunity for us in the North Waikato. So for us, it's key, because we can be the segue for the other mighty Waikato, and that's how I've always seen it. Sure, we've got to look after our citizens, but we also got to see the impacts of our boundary list, and those impacts on Auckland that are good for economic development, for other opportunities that come, tourism, and industry as well, and then also off to the east in Tauranga. The better we can work together in that NZ Inc., in that Golden Triangle, the better it is for our short, medium, and long term.
So it's nice that he's saying that, but spillover from Auckland isn't a government policy that's they're not putting any money down, let's say. So are they putting any money down for our region?
Well, no money anywhere. Spillover also, not just Auckland border. Spillover in Auckland, and spillover obviously around the Hamilton as well, and some of those around the Peacock, for example, there was a lot of focus on those for fast tracking. So, we didn't get any money for a Huntly wastewater treatment plant, but they put it on the fast tracking. The Peacock is no money, but fast tracking. Fast tracking some development for more housing, because we need to take the heat out of the housing market, etc. basically, my understanding, and you're probably more better up to this than this than me, Aaron, is, you know, the government saying, you know, they've got a problem, they've got no money in the bank, and they need to tighten their belts, and everyone's got to tighten their belts and get us back humming, and we need to get up the confidence of business, and we need to get the GDP, the gross domestic product, where everyone we make more, and therefore the pie is not $100, but comes $105 or $110, so that there is actually more money because we're all more productive. That's the only way we can do it. Otherwise, we're just carving up the pie in different ways of, you know, do we pay for medical? Do we pay for waters? Do we pay for education? We can't keep debt funding. We can't keep getting that. So that's the other thing, is tightening your belts. There is no money, and they don't give us any money. What we're doing is saying, being thankful and building up a relationship with central government to show that we're collegial and know what we're doing, and we've got the plan short, medium and long term in here, and we know what we're doing, and give them the confidence to work with us, not just the big metropolitans. And that's really important, that relationship of confidence, and showing that we can actually, when we do something and say something, we actually deliver it, which comes back that, you know, we know what we're doing. And then as and when we anticipate over time, short, medium, or long term, there will be funds that will become available for various things of through government as they are, because it all comes around in, you know, ebbs and flows, that we are ready, because we've built up that confidence with them, to be able to capitalise on those for the citizens. In the meantime, it's, you know, put the hoods down, hunker down, do the best we can, continue to do our, you know, innovation, continue to do our cost savings, continue to navigate the ship that who we are and where we're going. Because remember, we know where we're going for the up to growth 2070. We've got a 50-year plan of where we know that our district council needs to go.
Okay,
and same with
all right.
The other councils. So we know where we're going. Governments, because, you know, sometimes on this three-year cycle, are kind of floating quite a bit. So we want to show them, actually, we know where the ship's going. We know where the Golden Triangle's going. We know where the whole Waikato's going, and short, medium, long term. So get on board. Don't reinvent the wheel, because we actually know that we can help and support your outcomes together, rather than being adversarial to each other, or someone in Wellington deciding what we want for Raglan.
I'm glad that you're being collegial with them, but the things that they're saying, that's the talk of austerity. So
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, and it's, well, we haven't got time for a debate about that. We're not going to get into that, but austerity usually doesn't end well for a lot of people on the bottom half of the heap. But we have run out of time. I've got another interview waiting for me. So, Jackie, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again in a few months, I understand.